Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 133.5. If you're unfamiliar with Radical Research or our 0.5s, these are shorter, briefer, little micro episodes where we just choose to cover something a little, perhaps a little more novel than what we normally might. I'm Jeff Wagner. I have with me, as always, Mr. Hunter Ginn's Session Hate Hammers. How's it going down there in Savannah, my friend?
Going well.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Good to be here. It's autumn.
It's certainly not autumnal here.
Oh, really?
No.
But enough about the weather. We have a rather interesting subject for tonight's 0.5. We're also, just so people know, because we have announced the next one, 134, we are doing the Druk episode tonight as well, Drudkh. We'll be recording the show about our two, I guess we can say, favorite Druk albums.
Yeah, maybe. We'll get into that. Two of my favorite. We'll get into that.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So you came to me, it was a good couple of months ago now, regarding this Gorgut song off of their 1998 album Obscura called Nostalgia. And you had, in this text, you had just simply made an observation about how many parts of this 6-plus minute song reminded you of so many different other things. And I thought, well, that's a great subject for an episode, a short episode. We're going to get into it. We're going to listen to 5 different snippets from this song, kind of in sequence as the song rolls along. And you're going to tell us sort of what you're hearing and take it from there. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
This is Nostalgia 1.
So in that I hear Amphetamine Reptile era, Today is the Day.
At the time of that text, you had mentioned a few things that reminded you of, but I've kind of since forgotten all but one. And I think you probably know the one I would remember because this is so far out of Gorguts' world.
Right.
We'll get to that. But when I played this, I immediately thought of more of a blanket generic term, noise rock. I'm like, that's what you're gonna say.
Yep.
And certainly, certainly Amrep. And you said Today is the Day.
Yep. And that particular, because it's heavy and like Supernova, it reminded me a lot of that.
Okay.
The use of harmonics and feedback. And the song is kind of bookended by noise rock. And we'll get to it later, but something else reminds me. So.
That's a cool place to start because this album always did have that kind of noisy, scrapey, I don't know, noise rocky quality. I mean, it really, that's something I've always, I think, heard in it, but you're pinpointing some specifics, which is really cool. Cause you have, I think you have more of a working knowledge of noise rock, as it were, than I do. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. So there I am working off of some research knowledge, knowing that Steve Hurdle, who was one of the real catalysts behind this album, rest his soul, one of my favorite musicians, just a beautiful human being too.
Yep.
Huge Pearl Jam fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to think about the way that the sort of like that mystical Indian raga element trickled down from Led Zeppelin to other bands. And that element has been in Pearl Jam for ages.
Oh yeah, and it's still, you can still hear it on some of the later albums, you know.
You can.
It's part of their signature. Yeah. And I hear now the link to that part of nostalgia to certain Pearl Jam moments for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the one I remembered you mentioning too. And I knew that Steve Hurdle was a Pearl Jam fan because I remember, I think I had some contact with him when that Negativa came out. I read around the same time that came out, I read an interview with him and he was listing influences and they were pretty disparate. You know, they were all over the place, as you might imagine. And Pearl Jam was one of them. And I'm a huge Pearl Jam freak. And I was like, I don't understand. I mean, I've gotten used to people in this more extreme metal world mostly not giving a shit about Pearl Jam. Do you know what I mean? Or misunderstanding them. So I emailed him. I'm like, dude, that's cool. You're a Pearl Jam fan. And he was like, oh yeah. You know, I like, you know, so much of their catalog. And he mentioned Nettie's voice, which you have to, cause it's a huge part of their sound. But you know, here we hear kind of the musical influence. So that's a really, you got a really good ear. That's really good, man. I've always known you had a good ear, but that's an extraordinary ear. It's almost a scary ear. It's almost like scary in the sense of how our episode 5.5 went down when you were hearing that feedback in Nuclear Death songs and equating it to a riff in a Kiss song. So a little scary, my friend.
I have a few ex-girlfriends that would describe me the same way.
But you're not going to get any girls with getting this knowledge out there in public either. It's
probably not.
Might be a little scary for them.
No,
here we go.
This is not catnip.
I applaud you, my friend. I love it. Let's let's see what awaits with snippet number 3 from Nostalgia.
So 1998, that is straight up nu metal.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just right in the zeitgeist. And I'm not saying that they were influenced by anything, but they might have been. And you know, there was a weird inflection point where nu metal and like alternative rock were kind of interchangeable.
Well,
and
yeah.
There was an exchange of ideas in heavy music, and it would be forgivable for somebody like Gore Guts, who was clearly also evolving at a very, very accelerated pace, to be paying attention to some of that. And it's amazing, though, to me, like in this one song, how we go from all these different ideas. And we have a listener. And I cannot for the life of me remember who it was, but I think I may have posted that I was listening to this song on one of our playlists, or maybe the whole album, and that person said, so, like, insane how that, like, there's just a nu metal break in a Gore Guts song.
You know, there is, although I'm assuming not just because I this is wishful thinking, but I'm assuming this is just more being in the air rather than direct influence. I mean, I don't know that, you know, it, had they been listening to early Deftones, really early, because it would have had to be early in 98, then I could see that. And I wouldn't condemn them for that. Because as of White Pony, I hop onto the Deftones train pretty hard. You go earlier with them. So it's not like a bad thing necessarily. Just became such caricature so quick that it did itself no favors as a genre or a subgenre.
But I mean, if they were listening to, you know, if they got a whiff of Roots, or if they were, you know, on to Fear Factory a little later, like, I mean, yeah.
And look who adopted Fear Factory, Voivod, and no, Negatron and some degree Phobos. And, you know, it was in the air for Voivod. I don't think they were necessarily influenced by nu metal, but what was in the air, the thing we've kind of been dancing around, is this novelty or this challenge of stripping down and seeing what you can do with just one or two very simple notes, you know, the lowest strings on the guitar, simple. What you got most of the time were just hopelessly generic riffs that were just so simple to play, so easy to conceive. But making an art out of it is something that, say, the Deftones did, or incorporating it or grabbing it from the air the way Voivod did and making it work, I think, was commendable. It didn't always work for metal bands. Usually it didn't, especially if they had not toyed with that previously. But, I mean, the list is so long of all the bands who simplified in some way. I mean, Forbidden on Green did the same thing. You start to get chunkier, more Pantera-like, machine-like riffs. And I think it simply was in the air. You didn't have to necessarily be influenced by nu metal. But in the context of something like nostalgia, it does take on a pretty different color as well. I don't
it's just
find
so
it...
short, like the difference for me.
Yeah.
And it's so groovy. And if you extrapolated that over the course of, you know, a full song, it would be nu metal.
Well, it'd be Roots. You and I both love
Sepultura. Yeah, it would be Roots.
We love Sepultura, but we pretty much hate Roots. It's that's where I that really, really fall off and don't give a shit about that band when that started happening. So had Gorguts gone the Roots route, no, I wouldn't be interested in this. But this is a small moment on a much larger piece on a much
and
longer.
I love that it's in there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, it works. I think it works brilliantly.
It makes it even more interesting to me.
Yes. Yeah. And they didn't use it throughout the whole thing. Like that's as we're saying.
It's just one errant moment.
Yep. Yep. Let's move on. This is the fourth example here. I don't know what you're going to say or that reminds you of, but it brought to mind Celtic Frost, Monotheist, or even some Triptychon. But I don't think that's where you're going.
Nope, it's not. But I like
plus,
that.
Plus, this predates all that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, that's true. Man, we had a really spirited discussion in the car, John and Nate Carson and I, about Monotheist and Triptychon. Couple of weeks ago. No, I was gonna a few weeks ago I was listening to 16, and I thought, like, it just reminds me so much of that, like, first gear power violence kind of thing, that just drone. Even I could hear, like, Will Haven in there, like, just that droney don't not nu metal at all, but like coming out of more hardcore, but just relentless, you know, like bovine kind of drone noise,
for lack of a much better term, sludge, a sludgier type of thing. I don't remember 16 that well. I do remember them being around, but I wouldn't be able to tell you what they sounded like. But I guess now you're bringing it back for me that they are sort of in that mold.
I could tell you what they sound like.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm a big fan here. Especially like Blaze of Incompetence.
Yeah. a band you and I haven't talked about much, but that's, you know, that's interesting that you're hearing 16 and Gore Guts. I absolutely love that. It's great. So let's move on to the final one. You hinted that this was another noise rock thing. Curious to hear it. Let's go.
So our boy, Hank Steamer, got me thinking about this one. He, you know, sent us that email not too long ago about Dazzling Killman.
Yes.
Total, like, skin graft Dazzling Killman worship there.
Man.
Wrathy and super noisy and super threatening all at once.
You're talking out of my league, but I'll take your word for it. And Hank's. Because I've heard that name. I don't think I've ever heard Dazzling Killman ever. It's interesting, though, with all this stuff, whether it's the noise rock stuff we've been talking about or the new metal, how abrasive it all is. And that's, of course, its common root, you know, its common denominator. And I hear in the abrasion of that last snippet, I can hear a little bit of Erosion of Sanity, the previous album, in there.
Yep.
I've often had trouble connecting the two because there's 5 years apart. It's a different lineup and it's a different approach. It's still Gore Guts. I mean, certainly marked by his vocals, which are some of the best death metal vocals ever, in my opinion, Luke LeMay. Mm-hmm. I prefer Erosion. I always have, but I love Obscura. And I think that snippet helped me kind of link the first era of Gore Guts with that new one that came with Obscura right there. Because I just hear this level of abrasion and sort of otherworldly twistedness that happens in Gore Guts. And it probably makes me like it more than I might a Dazzling Killman album, or certainly more than I do like Today is the Day, which I'm not a huge fan of, but or 16. But I love that you've teased out these moments or these elements on this song. Are there other songs throughout Obscura in your mind that bring as many reference points outside of death metal to mind as Nostalgia does?
Yeah, Earthly Love.
Okay, I can see that. Clouded is its whole other, yeah, whole other world, you know. That's an endurance test in and of itself, in the best way.
I mean, what a visionary piece of work.
I don't think we've ever played Gore Guts on our show or discussed them too much in detail or played snippets. I think this is the first time we've even touched on Gore Guts. And you know what I realized tonight? Do you realize, because there was such a long span between the fourth album, From Wisdom to Hate, into Colored Sands. You know, they took that hiatus, basically. Mm-hmm. That was a long break. And do you realize there's now as long of a break between From Wisdom to Hate and Colored Sands as there is from Colored Sands to now? So it feels like there's going to be the big... If they make a sixth album...
Yeah.
It's going to be an even larger gap. So are they working on anything? You're friends with Kevin.
I hope so. I haven't talked to Kevin about that specifically, but I mean, they're playing shows. I know they played, unfortunately we missed them at Northwest Terror Fest. But I know they played a new song. So I assume they're working on new material. And
I hope so.
You got some of the most talented people in metal together. So,
that was just an album observation. We shouldn't probably push under the rug Pleiades' Dust, that kind of one long song EP thing. But yeah, whatever they do is always great. So I hope to hear more from them. But
yeah, Pleiades, that one was a slow burn for me and blows away now.
Yeah, same. Well, thanks for bringing this all to our attention. This is important stuff. You know, with everything going on in the world, Hunter, I think
I am happy to bring all of the most important things that are happening.
Yeah, we're like GE. We bring good things to light.
Better living through weird metal.